this topic of sharing your personal life at work comes up, I always think about this experience that I had about 10 years ago. I was serving as an advisor for a firm, and I respected the CEO very much. He sent an email out to all of the advisors asking us to submit to him our corporate bios for the website. At the bottom of his email request, he said something like, "Please make sure you include some personal details at the end. We all know that people tend to like us better when we add some personal details to the bottom of our professional bio." I remember thinking, is that true? Seems possible, but I want to see the research. Nowadays, I get this question a lot in the workshops and the coaching that I do. Men and women both ask me about this. Should I talk about my hobbies? Should I mention that I run ultra marathons? Should I mention that I do stand-up comedy in the evenings and on the weekends? Or should I talk about the fact that I look after my partner's elderly parents? Should I mention that I have a newborn at home? In this episode, I'm going to share with you what the academic research says about specific reasons that we should, and perhaps should not, share our personal or private life at work. I'm going to take you through the advantages or the disadvantages, if you will. And I'm going to warn you, the answer to this question, should I share my personal life at work? There's no easy yes-no answer to this. I would think of it more as a checklist or a series of considerations. My goal here with this episode is to help you make more informed decisions about whether and what to share about your personal life at work, depending on your personal context. Sound good?
Let's do this. Let's talk about talk.
Welcome to Talk About Talk, episode number 153, sharing your personal life at work. In case we haven't met, let me introduce myself. My name is Dr. Andrea Wojnicki. Please call me Andrea, and I'm your executive communication coach. I'm also the founder of Talk About Talk, where I coach communication skills to ambitious executives like you to elevate your communication, your confidence, and your clarity so you can establish credibility and ultimately you can accomplish your career goals. That is my goal for you. If you go to the talkabouttalk.com website, you'll find many resources there to help you out. There's information on one-on-one coaching, online courses, some amazing boot camps that I run every few months, corporate workshops, the archive of this bi-weekly podcast, and I really hope you'll sign up for the Talk About Talk newsletter. That newsletter is your chance to get free communication coaching from me. All right, let's get into this. A few years ago, at the beginning of COVID, I was doing small group personal branding workshops for senior female executives around the world. One brave participant asked about how to manage her personal brand at work, particularly in the context of her personal life. She told us all about a recent experience in her new role as a partner in her male-dominated organization. She noticed immediately that the few times when she mentioned her children or her family obligations, the room always got quiet. She got a strong signal that talk about your personal life outside of work, it's not welcome here. This is not uncommon. Okay, that was a double negative. This is common. In fact, there's a name for this. It's called the motherhood penalty. Researcher Shelley Carroll's work demonstrates how women in particular can be disadvantaged by perceptions that their family responsibilities will interfere with their work commitments. Have you ever experienced or maybe wondered whether you were experiencing the motherhood penalty? Or if you're a guy, maybe you noticed it happening to other people. Personally, I remember when I was on the job market in the last year of my doctoral program, I was looking for a job as a new faculty member, and I was interviewing at some amazing universities in the US, in Europe, and in Canada. And at the time, I was married with a one-year-old, and I was hoping to have more children. I know a lot of women struggle with what to disclose in terms of their family situation. Should I talk about my baby? Never mind my plans to have more children. Should I even wear my wedding ring? Okay, this sounds crazy to me now, but I'm going to tell you something. I did take my wedding ring off for a few of those interviews. I didn't want to prime or remind anyone to wonder about my motherhood status. But then I decided if being a mom was a bad thing at any of these universities, then I probably didn't want to work there anyway. So the ring went back on. Wow, right? I actually forgot about that whole experience until I was thinking about this episode. More recently, I was coaching a woman who has two young, amazing children, and she asked me whether and how she should tell prospective employers that she's done having kids. That's an interesting one. Then, just a few weeks ago, one of my friends, a successful tech entrepreneur, told me that decades ago, she went into a job interview very obviously pregnant. I can't even imagine. She told me that she got the job, she had the baby, and then she had a stellar career at that firm for over a decade. So, clearly that is a happy story, but it's not always so happy and it's not always so easy, is it? When I think about it, I suppose there really are two questions here. There's a more general question about sharing your personal life at work across all dimensions, talking about maybe your own childhood, where and how you grew up, talking about your hobbies, talking about what you do on weekends, and yes, talking about your family. And then secondly, there's a question about discrimination against women in particular, and particularly their role as mothers and how that impacts their professional careers. So understanding that the motherhood penalty is, in fact, a real thing, and that it may compound any negative effects on sharing our personal life at work, I'm going to tell you right now, this episode is focused on the first question. We're going to focus more generally in this episode on the pros and cons, or the advantages and disadvantages of sharing your personal self in professional contexts. At the end of the episode, I'm going to share with you a summary. It's almost like a checklist for you to consider when you're deciding whether and what to share about your personal life at work. So, I love saying this. As always, you don't need to take notes as you're listening to this podcast because I do that for you. First of all, there's the summary at the end. And secondly, if you want to read that checklist, you can always find it in the show notes or in the transcript on the Talk About Talk website. Okay. So we've established that this is a very common question that people have, how much and what to share about their personal life at work. But research also shows that it is an important or a critical question. Research shows that what we share about our personal identity can have at least as much of an impact on our professional reputation as our expertise and our accomplishments at work. Let me say that again. What we share about ourselves personally can impact our professional reputation even more so than the things that are more directly related to our professional identity. The balance between sharing personal information and maintaining professional boundaries is delicate, and it can affect workplace culture, individual well-being, and yes, your very own career trajectory. So let me start by addressing this question in the context of your personal brand. For those of you who have listened to previous Talk About Talk episodes focused on personal branding, or maybe if you've been to one of my workshops, you know what I mean when I say personal brand. I mean your whole, complete, authentic, and true self. Your personal brand includes all of the most important elements or traits that comprise you, the whole person. When I'm working with executives to help them articulate their personal brands, we fill out what I call a personal branding template. In this template, we list their expertise, their passions, their function, their industry, their values, their principles, their accomplishments and awards, and so on. At the bottom of the template, I encourage them to include 3 to 5 positive and unique parts of their personal identity. This is where they write things like their hobbies, their family role, and so on. It's not that they're less important, but typically, as I said at the very beginning, these are the things that come up at the bottom of your corporate bio, right? So here's the big question. Should we share these personal elements of our personal brand at work? Should we share every single element in our personal branding template with others? My answer might surprise you. Should we share our whole selves at work? Absolutely not. In fact, we shouldn't share our whole selves with anyone. It would be overwhelming. If I shared everything with you about me, you would think, you would know that I'm crazy. Save all those facts for your epic biography. Okay, so what should we do? Here's what we should do. Filter what elements of our identity or our brand that we want to share. The key word here, filter. To be clear, we are always the same person, but in different contexts and with different people, we should think about filtering what parts of our identity, our brand, what parts of our life that we want to share with them. This notion is consistent with what Irving Goffman, a famous Canadian-born sociologist, calls impression management. Have you heard that term? Goffman was one of the most influential thinkers in this area of impression management. His work culminated in a title called The Presentation of Self in Everyday Life. He provided foundational insights into how we can perform roles in various contexts, including, of course, at work. He talks about this concept of front stage and backstage as a way of thinking about how we manage our professional identities. I call it filtering. When you're at work, we might filter out some of our personal life or our personal roles. That doesn't mean these things are being completely eliminated from our entire being. And over time, of course, we may share more of our personal lives and our roles with our coworkers. But generally, we filter out our personal and present our professional traits at work. And of course, this works the other way around, vice versa. In our personal life, we don't introduce ourselves typically in terms of our work title and the last project that we completed or where we work. No. So I call this filtering. Goffman calls it front stage and backstage. Hopefully one of these metaphors are going to help you. Let me give you an example. This is a really cool story, I think. I tell this story a lot. Last year, I was coaching an impressive CEO on his personal brand. And one of the many things that I love about coaching ambitious executives like this is that I get to know them really quickly. If you're going to be successful at creating and articulating your brand, you have to be pretty open about sharing your passions and your expertise, and frankly, every part of your life. Anyway, at the beginning of my third coaching session with this impressive CEO, he started by apologizing for how he was dressed. He said, "I just came back from a run." And I said, "Wait, you run? That doesn't come up in our conversations." "Yeah, actually, I run ultra marathons." "What?" I asked him, "Why has this not come up in the context of your personal brand?" And he said, "I didn't think it was relevant." "Of course it's relevant. It's positive, it's unique, it's impressive. Frankly, it demonstrates your energy and your discipline. Should I go on?" He laughed. In that very session, we ended up rewriting his LinkedIn headline, and it concluded with hyphen avid runner. And then he imported a banner image to his LinkedIn profile that showed him in the starting line of a marathon that he ran. So when this CEO is at work, and yes, in his LinkedIn profile, he leads with his leadership expertise and his credentials. These are front stage, right? But backstage, he might mention his personal interests, including things like the fact that he's an avid runner. He doesn't lead with that. He filters that out, or at least he makes it secondary. This is just one of the many, many conversations that I've had with clients who are apprehensive about whether or what parts of their personal life they should be sharing in conversations at work, or in their corporate bios, or in their LinkedIn profile. So I did some reading. I went through the academic research on the risks and the benefits of sharing your personal life at work. And I created for us a list of 3 specific risks. And also, I created 3 ways to think about the advantages of sharing your personal life at work. Yeah, of course. 3. Always 3. The power of 3. Okay, so let's get into this. The 3 risks of sharing your personal life at work include privacy concerns, reinforcement of stereotypes and biases, and 3rd, violating norms. Okay, let me tell you briefly what I mean by each of these. 1st, privacy concerns. This is an obvious one. Sharing personal details can expose you to privacy risks. Consider what information you're comfortable with people knowing. This could be about your demographics, it could be about your health, whether it be mental or physical. It could be about your family members and so on. How much and what do you really want people to know? This reminds me of a recent experience. A few months ago, I was hired by a big audit firm to run a series of workshops, and these workshops were in person. One of the senior partners at the firm stood up in front of the room before the first session, and she introduced the program, and then she introduced me. She was obviously very well regarded by the folks in the room, and I could tell immediately that she had a good sense of humor. And she made a joke. She said something like, "Wow, guys, this is really nerve-wracking. I'm up here in the spotlight in front of you and in front of a communication coach, introducing a communication coach. Talk about anxiety. I'm sure I'm doing this all wrong." Everybody laughed. Once she formally introduced me, I thanked her and I said, "Actually, I can think of something worse than introducing a communication coach. It's being a communication coach and living with three critical teenagers who are watching you carefully, ready to pounce on any communication blunder that you make. Welcome to my world." Everyone in the room smiled and laughed. And then I realized before I even said anything about the content in the workshop, everybody in the room knew that I had three kids. Because of privacy concerns, I never share my kids' names. Privacy concerns about our children, especially on social media, that's a topic for a whole other episode, isn't it? But the point here is that whether you're talking about your demographics, where you live, your age, your family, your socioeconomic status, your health status, mentally and physically, as I said, and more, it could be in person, it could be in a workshop, in a bio, or on social media. These are all things that we need to be careful about in terms of privacy concerns. So that's the first risk, privacy. The second risk to sharing personal information is that it can reinforce negative stereotypes and biases. Here's the thing. We are always looking at each other for signals, how we can interpret who we're dealing with, including our coworkers. Sometimes the information we share can provide evidence that might reinforce a negative stereotype, like, say, young mothers. The negative stereotype for young mothers includes they are sleep deprived, they are less loyal, and they are less hardworking than others. Ugh. Or, like people who grew up in a certain country, we sometimes assume they will have particular values or principles or even abilities just because of where they were born. These are biased assumptions. This is an important point. As I said earlier, research shows that people may be more likely to form opinions about you based on personal aspects as opposed to your professional qualifications. Sometimes this is because of the biases that people hold, even implicit biases, against some element of your personal background, something that's not even directly related to your career. I have a great story for you that illustrates this. Recently, in one of my personal branding boot camps, there was a female CEO who talked about this directly. Her hobby was baking. She loved baking, and she loved giving her cookies and cakes away to family, to friends, and yes, to coworkers. She told us that she was acutely aware of the bias against women in leadership positions and how bringing cookies to her team at the office might just reinforce her identity as a woman. And maybe as a woman who belongs in the kitchen. Yikes. I have to give her kudos though. She was acutely aware and strategic about this stereotype. She called it out as she was sharing the cookies. Like, "Don't you dare discriminate against me just because I'm conforming to the female stereotype of being in the kitchen. Yes, I can bake a mean cookie, but I'm also very successful at leading this team to meet all of our goals." I love it. So that is the second risk, potential bias. Now we've covered privacy concerns and negative stereotypes and biases. The third risk of sharing personal information at work is related to boundaries and relevance. It's about violating norms. This is really about conforming to or violating the norms at an institutional level, like the norms associated with your industry or your corporate culture, but then also at a contextual level. Professor Christy Rogers at Marquette University focuses her research on identity and professional boundaries at work. Maintaining professional boundaries is crucial for workplace dynamics, Oversharing or inappropriate sharing of personal information can blur these boundaries, leading to discomfort or conflicts within teams, and even more so depending on the corporate culture. Of course! So, there's the norms of the corporate culture, of the institution. Then, within that one institution, there are many different contexts, right? So, like, if you're selling something to a new prospective client versus you're chatting with a familiar coworker that you communicate with on a daily basis. Of course, the longer we know someone, the more we tend to share. Here's a context most of you are familiar with: LinkedIn. I remember posting something on LinkedIn years ago. The post was something related to the art world. Yes, I'm also a painter. Did you know that? Anyway, an old coworker, a guy that I knew years ago, commented on the post that I should move this to Facebook. He publicly commented on the post, shaming me for sharing something that he perceived was not directly career related. In other words, he thought I was violating the norms of LinkedIn. By the way, are you wondering what I did? I privately messaged him and explained my rationale. His response was belligerent, so I blocked him. Anyway, here's a context where the norms of the environment are evolving. LinkedIn used to be about job searching, right? Nowadays, it's a professional network where people connect on all sorts of topics, including job searching, yes, but also industry thought leadership, mentorship, career progression, professional and personal development, and yes, even personal interests. The norms of what's acceptable to post on LinkedIn have certainly evolved. So, those are the three reasons why you might not want to share personal information at work. We've got privacy concerns, biases, and violating norms. Chances are, if you ever feel like you messed up by sharing too much at work, it's because of one of these three things. It's either privacy, reinforcing negative biases, or violating norms. So the question now is, what do we do when we mess up? I go back to the filter metaphor. So we messed up and we shared too much. That's when we need to mend the filter. We can adjust what and how much we share in the future. However, that certainly doesn't mean that we shouldn't share anything personal at work. In fact, there are several very compelling reasons why we should share personal things at work. This idea of a blurred line between personal and professional boundaries is considered by several academic researchers that I found in my research, including Christy Rogers and Shelley Carl, as I just mentioned, but also Laura Morgan Roberts, Nancy Rothbart, and Ashley Martin, just to name a few. Anyway, the research here highlights that sharing some aspects of your personal identity or your personal life at work can benefit us really on three levels. This is what I saw in the research. It's organizational performance, team cohesion, and then individual well-being. So basically what I did was I categorized the benefits into three levels. There's the macro or group level, the one-on-one relationship level, and then the individual level. Here's the thing as you're listening to this, particularly if you're a leader, you can consider this both for yourself and for your team. This is important at an individual level and a cultural level. So let's start at the cultural or macro level. We see that by sharing personal stories and experiences, individuals can challenge and reduce stereotypes in the workplace in general. Yes, this is related to the disadvantage that I mentioned earlier about stereotypes and bias. Shelley Carroll's research on gender stereotypes, for example, suggests that personal narratives can play a role in changing preconceived notions and negative biases. It can also improve job satisfaction and even reduce burnout for everyone in the organization. Research also indicates that knowing about your coworkers' lives outside of work can foster empathy and support within teams. A supportive macro environment like this can also lead to reduced stress and increased job satisfaction. When people are comfortable being themselves and sharing some of their personal life at work, they can be more authentic and true to their distinct identity. And I have to say, despite the recent backlash against DEI, the benefits of diversity and inclusion in the workplace are well documented in academic literature. Sharing personal experiences can help highlight and celebrate diversity, contributing to this more inclusive culture. This also relates to Amy Edmondson's work on psychological safety, which you've probably heard me talk about in other episodes, where individuals' perceptions of the risk of being their true self impacts the team's performance. Basically, the point here is that when the individual feels comfortable being their true self, the organization also benefits at a macro level. This makes sense. Okay, moving on then to the second level, the one-on-one relationship level. Of course, we've all noticed that over time, we share more personal details with our coworkers. And when someone shares something personal, we typically respond by doing the same. It's reciprocity. This is supported by theories like the social penetration theory, which highlights that over time, gradual self-disclosure helps deepen interpersonal relationships, often leading to improved workplace communication and relationships. We probably don't need the academic research to understand that when people reveal things about themselves, they're signaling that they trust us, and then we in turn reciprocate with trust. Their social bond is elevated. It's strengthened. Suddenly, teamwork and collaboration are much more viable and effective. Separately, you've probably also noticed that over time, we all look for similarities or things in common with each other. And again, this applies for both professional interests, but also, perhaps to a greater extent, personal insights. If you share a personal interest, a hobby, or maybe the college that you went to, or that you lived in the same city as someone, these shared interests and experience create social bonds. When you share that you grew up on the East Coast, or that you play golf, or that you enjoy baking, or that you too have children, you create a connection. So, at the relationship level, you can think of two reasons why you might want to share information. The first is to create an environment or a relationship characterized by trust. And secondly, to establish commonality or similarity, things that you have in common. This is about creating connection. All right, now we've looked at the macro level, the cultural level, and we've looked at the relationship level. The third and last level to consider in terms of the benefits of sharing personal information is the individual level. This is about the benefit to you of establishing your professional identity and your personal brand. Sharing personal interests or achievements can reinforce that you are a well-rounded individual and perhaps even highlight diverse skills that might be tangentially related to your career success. A great example of this is the CEO client that I was talking about earlier in the episode, the guy that was an avid runner. He ran ultra marathons. Clearly, this hobby is not directly related to his professional expertise, but it does share that he is well-rounded, disciplined, and he has a lot of energy, right? At an individual level, sharing personal information can make you more relatable to your audience too. It adds a human touch to your professional accomplishments, making you seem more approachable. Personally, I might share things about how, say, I work out most days at noon. I work out online with a bunch of women, an amazing routine that we started at the beginning of COVID. Or I talk about how I love painting. Or here's one. I have three extremely tall children. Depending on the context and the people with whom I'm communicating, these insights can make people feel closer to me or simply signal that I'm a real human with a real life. These personal insights are mostly backstage when I'm in my role as an executive communication coach, but they're still there. And I might decide at any time, depending on the context and with whom I'm communicating, to share them. So ask yourself, is there some outside interest that you pursue that you might want to share? It doesn't have to be over the top. It doesn't have to be an extreme sport or something like running ultra marathons. Just something that showcases you as a well-rounded human. Maybe it's artistic, or maybe it's athletic, or maybe it's your family, unique hobbies, interests, or aspects of your background. These things can all make you more relatable and maybe more memorable. So, there you go. Three risks and three levels of benefits of disclosing personal information at work. Let me summarize and remind you what they are. Are you ready? Here's your checklist. The risks of sharing personal information at work include three things. One, privacy concerns. Two, reinforcement of negative stereotypes and bias, and 3, violating norms. The benefits are plenty, so I encourage you to consider them at 3 levels. At an institutional or cultural level, at a one-on-one relationship level, and obviously at a personal level. So, now, what do you do with all this? My suggestion is that you carefully and strategically share elements of your personal identity in professional contexts, depending on this checklist. Now then, here's my challenge to you. Take some time to identify 3 to 5 elements of your personal life that you might share at work. Consider carefully the risks, the privacy concerns, the negative stereotypes and biases, and violating norms, along with the benefits at an institutional, a one-on-one relationship, and an individual level. And if you're a leader, remember, you are a role model, and how you respond when others share personal information, never mind when and what personal information you yourself share, has a significant impact on your organization. Remember, we should certainly strive to be authentic. Always. We are our true selves. But that does not mean we are 100% transparent. We don't share everything with everyone. Goodness, no. All right, that's it. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, I hope you will share it with your friends and maybe even leave me a review on whatever podcast app you're using. It really makes a difference and I appreciate it. If you want to connect, I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what you thought about this episode and maybe ideas for future episodes. You can connect with me anytime on LinkedIn or on the talkabouttalk.com website. Send me a message. I love hearing from you. Thanks again for listening and talk soon.